I think this morning I should not let the morning pass without expressing my heartfelt, and if I ever meant the word heartfelt, I mean it now, gratitude to that band of people who 16 years ago stood by me through battles that were almost indescribable and trusted me almost blindly. You'll never know this side of heaven what your stand has done for this nation. And so, and may I say this, for 16 years I've pastored what I think is the greatest collection of Christians in any one room in the entire world. I believe there are more people in this room this morning, in this room right here, who've given everything they have to God than in any other room in the world today. I believe there are more people right here who are soul winners than you will find in any other room in the world today. And I know you'll find more people who are thoughtful of their preacher in this room than you'll find anywhere in the world. So may I thank you for every nod of the head. Many of you deacons have been nodding all of these years. Thank you for every smile, every time you've overlooked my weaknesses and my faults. I do not know what I say here and what I don't say here sometimes. I forget where I've said what I've said. I preach so many times, many places. And I'll never forget one Sunday night when I didn't know what to do. I mean it. I just did not know what to do. The battle had been a tough one and I just about was to the end of the rope. And I got in the flesh in the pulpit and said some things I shouldn't have said. It's the only time in my ministry here, I said some things I shouldn't have said, but it's the only time that I knew I was saying them. I said some things that I thought were what I ought to say that were unwise choices of words. But that night, I got mad. It's the only time in all these years that I've preached mad at you. I've gotten a little irritated because of maybe I wanted you to do something you ought to do for God and for yourself. But I mean, I just got the end of my rope. And I thought it was all over. They had used to have a baptistry. Baptistry used to have was down on the floor level. You had to look down at it. The old building that burned. And I went to the dressing room that night to get ready for baptism, and Ed Roush came to the dressing room, chairman of our deacons. And I said, Ed, I guess that's it. I guess that's it. I said, I just don't know anything to do but resign. And Ed Roush said, preacher, you've got 1,000 people here who love you and who are for you. And maybe you did say some things you shouldn't have said tonight, but you've been through a tough battle. And he said, don't you leave the people that have stood beside you. And that expression from my good friend and my fellow laborer, Ed Roush, who for these years has been chairman of our deacons, is but typical of the way that you've overlooked and the way you stood beside the preacher. I know you've gone home some nights and you said, well, he laid a mighty big egg today. I've laid some eggs that make dinosaurs' eggs look like Banny Hen eggs. I started to ban a rooster, they don't lay eggs. We'll learn that second year in college here. But I know that you've overlooked. And so I do appreciate, more than you'll ever know, the privilege has been mine of being your preacher. There have been a lot of times in these 16 years, I hate to admit it, but when I just didn't know what to do. This may come as a great surprise to you, but I'm human too. In fact, if I ever find out about it, it'd be a great surprise to me. But I'm human. I'm afraid sometimes all too human. But I think you've known that for these 16 years I've loved God. And I think you've known that I've tried to exalt His Son. And I've been with you hundreds of times when you didn't know what to do. This week, I guess I've gotten more calls this week. And more people come to my office this week. Said, "Preacher, I just don't know what to do. I just do not know what to do." Than I've had probably in any week since I've pastored this church. A son ran away. And the father said, "Brother Hiles, we just don't know what to do." Two daughters. Not in this church, in another church, ran away from home. And someone called me long distance and said, "Dr. Hiles, we need your help. We feel like you care. And we just don't know what to do." 4:30 this morning, I was on the telephone talking to someone who said, "Brother Hiles, I just don't know what to do." Mrs. Allen, Mrs. Clara Allen, lady who taught in our primary department, was superintendent of our primary department for a long time, has an incurable illness. And she's in awful bad shape. And there are others. You don't know all the broken hearts, all the heartaches and burdens and problems borne by people in this room today who don't know what to do. Now, what do? When you don't know what to do. I mean, you come to the place where you're at the end of the rope. You're facing the wall. There's no human way out as far as you can see it. What do you do? Well, some people turn to suicide. In America, 23,000 people a year, when they don't know what to do, commit suicide. Some folks turn to worry. Every day in America, 700 new people are admitted to mental institutions caused mainly by worry. Somebody has said, over one half of all of our hospital beds are filled with people who have some form of emotional or mental illness. There are 150,000, it is said, in America today in hospitals for the mentally retarded. 125,000 others receiving treatment in these hospitals but are not patients in the hospitals. What do you do when you don't know what to do? Some folks turn to worry. Others turn to alcohol. There are 9 million people in America today confirmed alcoholics, and 200,000 new ones added every year. One of the darkest days in the history of this nation was the day that garbage became legal in our country. And now it's accepted. When people come to the place they don't know what to do, they turn to alcohol. And now in our generation, we've seen a new menace rise. And folks don't know what to do, they turn to drugs. In 1971 alone, 225 million prescriptions were given by doctors in America to alter moods. Now, we have a lot of doctors in our church, several, I think seven, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm not trying to be unkind to those doctors. And I think we've got the finest group of born-again, soul-winning, Christian, dedicated doctors of any church in America. But I'm alarmed when our people have to have pills to make them happy, and pills to make them sad, and pills to make them tranquil, and pills to bring them up, and pills to tone them down. There are enough mood pills given in America in 1 year to keep all of us up or down or in it or out of it for 1 month. The entire American population. President Nixon, ex-President Nixon, his director of drug prevention on October 5, 1972, said that we have between 5 million and 6 million heroin addicts alone in America. Now, what do? You don't know what to do. What do? The answer is as simple as it ever was. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And the word trust means roll yourself on Him. Lean all your cares upon Him. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness. What a peace is mine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. And lean not to thine own understanding. PhDs to the contrary. Modern philosophy to the contrary. State universities to the contrary. Psychologists and psychiatrists, to the contrary. Man does not know the answer to his needs because man does not even know his needs. Several weeks ago, I had a psychiatrist come to see me in a distant city. He said, "Dr. Hiles, I cannot see my pastor because I spend my life trying to straighten people up." And he said, "The truth is, I do not even know the answer to my own needs." And then he said this, "I don't even know how to diagnose my own needs." I don't care who you are this morning. I don't care how much assurance you have. I don't care how independent you are. I don't care how self-reliant you are. You face the same apprehensions all of us face today. You have the same frustrations we all have. We're just a group of human beings down here on earth trying to find our way through and make our way through, and we do not know all the answers or all the questions, and the only hope we have is to lean not to our own understanding. Don't trust your own understanding. Ushers, I need your help now. Quickly. Ushers, keep your eyes open. Let's find a seat for them. Ushers, you know what to do. Set the chairs up in the hallway now once I start preaching. We have our rules here. Hurry. Here's some seats down in front of Miss Jeffries right here. Right quickly. Now, usher, somebody get out in the hall now and be sure you do what you're supposed to do now. Once I start preaching, have the folks stand in the hall. Let's bow our heads while they're seated and ask God to help us. Now, our Father, this is too important. Biggest thing in all the world is what we're doing right now. Amen. Supreme Court will ever have a meeting that's as important as this meeting this morning. I pray you'd give us in this hour an awareness of thy presence and a new reliance upon thee, our God. In Jesus' name, amen. What's the answer? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. That means acknowledge Him in your business. That means acknowledge Him at school. That means acknowledge Him in your pleasure. That means consume yourself. Listen, listen. You will never in your life solve your problems completely. But you just say with a writer, "All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence, daily live. I surrender all." Listen, there's nothing wrong in this country that a good old-fashioned dose of giving everything to God wouldn't cure. This half in, half off, half on, half off, half out half-hot, half-cold, lukewarm kind of Christianity, where we just give God a little glance on Sunday morning and a dollar or two or five in the collection plate and go our mad ways or our folly all week long is not the answer. The answer is to give it all to God. Let God have everything you have. All thy ways acknowledge Him. Person that drinks his cocktails all week and goes to church on Sunday is frustrated at both times. All thy ways acknowledge Him. I'm 48 years old. Be 49 in a few days. Doc, when's your birthday? Next Tuesday. And for 22 blessed days, he'll be a year older than I am. He's the senior citizen on our staff. I was down in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, preaching Thursday and Friday for the Founders Week of the Bill Rice Ranch, and I checked in the motel. And the fellow innkeeper said, "There's been a man trying to find you." I said, "What does he look like?" He said, "He's an elderly man, short elderly man, about 45. I said, "Give me my key and shut your big fat mouth." Elderly man, about 45. But if I've learned anything in these 49 years, this I've learned. I've learned the answer for happiness is taking it all and giving it to Him. All of it. All of it. What to do when you don't know what to do? In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. The Bible says He cares for us in several ways. He cares for us as a father cares for a child. Any father in this room today who had someone pursuing your child, trying to do something to your child, any father in this room today would give his life to protect his own children. How does He care for us? He cares for us as a mother cares for her baby, tenderly. Watching over her baby. I can still recall in my days, God gave me an old-fashioned mother. I can recall in my when I was a child, still I can remember, sick at night, high fever, waking up 3 o'clock in the morning, and my mother looking down at me. She never slept when I was sick. My Bible says that as a mother cares for her baby, my father cares for me. That's in Isaiah 49:15. And Isaiah 27:3 reminded that our Father cares for us as a gardener cares for his garden. In Deuteronomy 32:10, I'm reminded that our Father cares for us as an eyelid cares for the eye. As when, if somebody does like that, you blink your eyes. Or somebody like that, blink your eyes. Just inevitably, the eyelid says, "I'm going to jump to the rescue of that eyeball." And our Heavenly Father says, just like that, "I'm going to jump to the rescue of my children." He says in Proverbs 17:17, He cares for us as a friend cares for his friend. And in Colossians, it reminds us that He cares for us as a banker cares for his money. As the banker says, "I'll give my life to protect my money." As the eyelid says, "I'll instantaneously jump to the rescue of the eye." As the mother says, "I'll sit up all night and nurture and care for my baby." As a father says, "I'll die before anybody will hurt my own." As the friend says, "I'll give my life for my friend." And as the gardener says, "I'm going to delicately trim and care for my garden. It's the object of my attention. It's my whole life." Even so, our Heavenly Father cares for us. Now listen to me for a minute. Listen to me. You don't have to fret. You don't have to fret. Several times a year, I stop and preach a sermon like this. I don't want you. I know the world's in a mess. Good night, I know it. And by the way, dear Mr. Kissinger's not going to solve all our problems. Now that Liz Taylor is praying at the wailing wall, I think that maybe she can get a hold of God. God, pity her. She and Dick are back together again. Aren't we glad about that? Let's give them a shower. Make it a hailstorm. I know the problems. I think in a few years we're going to have a depression that'll make the one in the 1930s look sick. I think a famine's going to come to this nation as sure as I'm an inch high. I think we're going to continue to have war, and I think we're going to live on the brink of war or in war until our Lord returns in the sky for His own. We're in for some rough days. I think America is that close to becoming a communist society today. That close. I think revolution is closer than any of us ever realize in America. You say, preacher, what can we do? Trust in the Lord with all our heart. Lean not to our own understanding, and all our ways acknowledge Him, and let Him direct our path. That's the only hope we've got. Only hope we've got. Little boys and girls come to me, and they, oh, so often, all over the country, say, Brother Hiles, do you think communism is going to come? Do you think we're all going to starve to death? No, I don't think we're all going to starve to death. You see, I got a bunch of heavenly food stamps all saved up. All saved up. As long as Philippians 4:19 is in the Bible, we're going to make it okay. Amen. As long as Matthew 6:33 is in the Bible, I just aim to keep on eating. Amen. Bible says, my God shall supply all your pizza according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. All your needs. Nothing wrong with that. How about these for a few promises? The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him. And notice the angel, not an angel, the angel. When you find the word the angel, that means that Jesus Himself takes care of this job. That means, blessed be God, that Jesus walks around me all the time. All the time. While I sleep, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about me. While I preach, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about me. When I have battles, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about me. I guess if there ever was a time in my ministry where I don't know what to do, it's now. We've got to have $2.5 million for Hiles Anderson College to close its doors on January the 1st. We have now about 400,000. Now you stop and you divide 4 months into $2.5 million. We've got to have over $500,000 a month for the next 4 months. You divide 17 weeks into $2.5 million. A man this week walked up to me in Murfreesboro and said, by the 15th of December, I'll send you $50,000. And I said, praise the Lord. And then it dawned on me, 49 more like that and we'll have it. You said, well, the house... Where are you going to get that $2.5 million? I don't have any idea. I mean that. I have no idea in this world. I believe God's going to give it to us. I've got enough faith to believe it. I haven't got enough faith to sleep between now and the time we get it. How about this one? Psalm 91:1, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and the noise of pestilence, and on it goes. How about that for a start? I'm so glad this morning. I'm so glad, and I mean this. I'm so glad that when I don't know what to do, I think the Lord says, now I got a chance. I got a chance. One night about midnight, the telephone rang. And I answered the phone and I said, hello, and it was Becky. And Becky's married now and has two children. And I said, Becky. She said, Daddy? I said, yes. I said, Becky, are you all right? She said, yes, I'm all right. I said, is Trina all right? That's their oldest baby. Yes, she's all right. I said, good. You all right? Yes. I said, good. Trina all right? Yes. That's good. I said, Teresa all right? Yes. That's good. Tim all right? That's my son-in-law. Yes, he's all right. I said, oh. And then Becky said, Dad, I want to hear your voice tonight. I just want to hear your voice. She said, Trina's been a little bad today. And Dad, you always knew what to do. She said, Dad, would you just talk to me a while about how to rear Trina. And I said, Becky, with the failure I did on you, I don't know if I can help you with Trina or not. And you know, the old man got to make one of his favorite speeches on how to rear the kids. That's what the Heavenly Father wants to do. Heavenly Father likes for you sometime to get to the place where it's, I don't know what to do. And the Lord says, good. Now I get to show my strength. Now you get to trust me. Now you can call me on the phone and say, Heavenly Father, I need your help. Now lean not to thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. How about Philippians 4:13? I can do all things through Christ. Or Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your needs according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. And so may I say to my people what I say so often. Now just be calm. And don't fret. One of the sweetest things ever happened here was a lady who's divorced. Her husband was a wicked man. I don't think they're divorced at the time. Later he divorced her. She had 3 children. They sat over here in this section, right over here, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night. And she had to make the living. I went down one night at 2 o'clock in the morning and pulled her husband off of him and took a knife away from him. Kept him from killing her. More than once, I've taken food to the house myself. And she used to say, Brother Hiles, when you're here, everything's just okay. And so, when I'd walk in the door here, I used to walk in the door over here, as I'd walk in to walk to the pulpit, they'd sing, all 4 of them. Mother and 3 children would sing, just above a whisper, everything's all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house. In my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house, 'cause Brother Hiles is here. I can tell you something about Brother Hiles that's here. The Heavenly Father's here. Little girl, one time in Hammond, you visitors don't know this, she was watching television, and they came home with this thing, you know, this area, have a special alert from the weather department or weather bureau. Yeah, let me do the preaching. And weather bureau, and said, there's a tornado alert in this area, a line 15 and a half miles or either side of a line, 13 miles, alongside a line, 18 miles, around a circle, 14 and a half miles, between here and Nacogdoches, Rhode Island. And the little girl, she came to Mama and said, Mama, does that mean Chicago or Hammond? And the Mama said, yes, that means Hammond. And she said, would you call the church and see Brother Hiles is in town? And the mother said, sweetheart, why? She said, just call and see Brother Hiles is in town. And she said, why? She said, call your Brother Hiles in town. A tornado wouldn't dare come through Hammond. That's why. Now, you know, the truth is, that's not right. But I tell you, somebody that is in charge that you can trust in. I can recall in Texas when I was a boy, and those clouds would come up. And in Texas, a bush, we call a tree. We didn't have any trees much. And you could see one of those black clouds rolling in from miles and miles off. And I can recall again and again and again. Mother would be to the grocery store. She'd be working, and I'd be home by myself. And the storm would come, and then all of a sudden, Mother would come in. It didn't bother me much anymore. Mama's home. Now, Mama couldn't stop a storm. She caused a lot of storms at our house, but she couldn't stop a storm. But I just felt better. Now, listen to me. Everything is all right. Everything is all right. If you are sold out to God, lean not your own understanding. That's what you do when you don't know what to do. 16 years ago today, I walked in over here to this building. Scariest preacher that ever lived. That's the day I sang my famous solo on the one word, Amen. That's the day when I never forget it. We had a flower committee back in those days. The blooming committee and flower committee. As I walked in that morning, the chairman of the flower committee had 4 boutonnieres, or 4 of us coming out on the platform, 4 boutonnieres. And we stood there, and he pinned one on me, and I stepped over, and he pinned one on the next fellow, and he stepped over on the next fellow. And the strange thing about it, as he walked out, same guy's waiting there to get the boutonnieres back. He wanted to use them next Sunday too, you know. And I walked out. I never forget it. A lady sang an anthem that morning about Peter walking on the water. Poor Peter. You never heard saw such a walk in your life as Peter had that morning. And there was I wanted somebody to sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And I was so lonesome and so homesick, and I didn't think I could take it, and you didn't think you could take it. so homesick. Ray Bordway, our choir director, was just a teenage boy. And Ray wrote me the sweetest letter this week. Sweetest letter. Thanking me for the 16 years. And we had a battle royal. And time again, I didn't know what to do. And I'd go to God and I'd say, oh God, I don't know what to do. And when you don't know what to do, but you know what? If you'd just break your no water, you'd be a lot better off, you know what? Just break your no water. And you don't know what to do. And you can't. Have you been there? I recall. I went back home night, morning after morning and night after night. And I'd throw myself on my face and I'd say, oh God, I don't know what to do. And it wasn't long till an arsonist burned down half of our buildings. I didn't know what to do. And building program after building program, we faced the wall and we didn't know what to do. We started our high school and we didn't know what. We didn't have a principal. I recall Dr. Billings came and him and Billings came to visit, and I wanted to hire him, but I was afraid. You know, he's sort of a feisty little fellow, and I was sort of that dynamic, but I'd say pesky would be a better word. But you know, and I thought, now that guy will come here and he'll start a church across the street over there somewhere. And so I had him fly all the way back to O'Hare Field from Maryland. And then I went to O'Hare Field, took my tape recorder, and made a tape. And Doc promised me on the tape he'd never start a church within miles of that. And miles there, because I didn't trust him. I wanted him, but I didn't trust him. Still don't much, but I didn't trust him. And I couldn't have asked for a more loyal man than this fellow. I couldn't have asked for a more loyal man. I guess the words he said, more than any other words in his vocabulary through these years, is whatever you say, preacher. Whatever you say, preacher. By the way, all you folks here, that's a pretty good thing to say to me. Amen. But you got that, Evans? Amen. You got that, Helton? Amen. Helton, where'd you go? Anybody hear a trumpet? On a day when the air is thin, he just floats up anyhow. I mean, and we didn't know what to do. We started a grade school. We didn't know what to do. Started a college. Now, boy, I really didn't know what to do then. I'm no educator. I'm a hellfire and damnation preacher. And we didn't know what to do. And we've come to place after place. Now then, as I said a while ago, we come honestly. It'll take a miracle for us to have $2.5 million. I'm no money raiser. I'm a poor guy. I don't know many rich people. It'll take a miracle of miracles for us to raise $2.5 million in the next 4 months. So what you going to do? I don't know what to do. Preacher, give us dynamic leadership. If I knew where to go, I'd say, come on. So what you going to do? I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not to my own understanding. And as best I can, in all my ways, I'm going to acknowledge Him. And He shall direct. I've been in the poem writing again. I thirst, the blessed Savior said, with crown of thorns upon his head, and stood at Hades' brink. Yet through those lips so parched and dry came forth the words with heaving sigh, come unto me and drink. He hungry was at Sychar's well, and from his lips the message fell, 5 times you've been a wife. Yet this same Lord 5,000 fed, and our dear hungry Savior said, I am the bread of life. He wearied 'neath the noontime sun, yet says to every weary one, come lean upon my breast. And he who tired upon his way to heavy-laden ones could say, come unto me and rest. He wept at Lazarus' quiet grave, yet to the lonely sisters gave deliverance from fears. And looking o'er Jerusalem, travailing for his love to them, he weeps, yet dries my tears. The foxes had their holes for rest. The weary bird flew to his nest, all nestled in its tree. Yet he who had no house or bed or pillow for his weary head prepares a place for me. He who spent his time alone, he whose life was not his own, my loneliness did take. He who walked a lonely road, he who had no earth abode, said, thee I'll not forsake. And he who as a lamb did come before the sharers, shy and dumb, so meekly to the fold, this self-same suffering, dying lamb, my dove, my bullock, ox, and ram is shepherd of my soul. And he'll take care of you.
Amen.
He loves you. He loves you. Think of it. He loves you. I know no better news than that. I sing so often. And the angels be like that. But if I sing a song these days, more than any other song, more than all the songs put together, if I could sing, I'd sing it now, but I won't. It's this. I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. And this is the dearest. That Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. We've traveled some winding trails in these years. We've taken our billfolds more than once. Some of you newer folks don't understand all of this. Taken our billfolds more than once and emptied them. I recall one night we had a meeting of our deacons. Had to cut the budget. Trim it all the way down, way, way down to cut the budget. For 16 years, we've had many times we didn't know what to do. But I talked to somebody this morning who knows what to do.
Amen.
He loves you. What do you do when you don't know what to do? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy path.